Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Stadium.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of the 13th of November 2017. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on today's show, Alex Iwobi on taking his country to next summer's World Cup. We look at the letter N in the A to Z of Arsenal, while Adrian Clarke is back at the chalkboard to look ahead to another huge North London derby. We kick off though by going around the club with Arsenal Media's Max Jones.
It's time to go around the club with Max Jones.
So Max joins us on the line now. Morning, sir. How are you?
Morning, Russ. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. And quite a few happy Gunners given their international commitments of the last couple of days. We'll start with Granit Xhaka and Switzerland, of course, who've qualified for the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the international call-ups that we've had, Granit's actually our 12th player to qualify for the World Cup. So yeah, that's impressive as we look at it just on the whole. But yeah, looking at the two games, because obviously he was our only Gunner in action during the international playoffs. Northern Ireland actually played very well, and they could probably say that they were hard done by with a controversial penalty decision. But I do feel like on the whole, after Switzerland did win 9 out of 10 of their group games, you feel like they deserve to be there. And Xhaka as well, he's been instrumental in some of their performances. He didn't show his best stuff against Northern Ireland, but in the majority of the other qualification games, he's definitely shown his range of passing and some good goals too.
So Xhaka is there. We know that France, of course, are there as well. Olivier Giroud scoring against Aaron Ramsey's Wales to become their 7th time all-time leading scorer in their friendly. That's not a bad effort, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, he's got 15 goals in his last 22 games for France. And of course, now he's only 2 goals away from equaling the great Zinedine Zidane's record. But I think more importantly for Olivier, he's just 1 goal behind his childhood hero, Jean-Pierre Papin. So when we spoke to him in April, I believe it was, when he'd only just broken into the top 10 scorers, he said, "I don't care how many I get, just as long as I can match Jean-Pierre Papin's total." And I mean, he's getting close to that every time he plays. But yeah, I mean, just on Giroud in general, I kind of like to speak about him and how much flack he gets, because for a player who is consistent in front of goal in Premier League standards and obviously at international level as well, he does get a lot of criticism. But I think the way that he handles it and the way that he carries himself into each game, where you know he keeps his head up, he always provides an outlet. I think he's a brilliant player, and he's been a great servant for Arsenal over the years. For someone his size, his work rate and first touch is brilliant. And I mean, you only need to look as far as Antoine Griezmann, who said that he loves playing with him because he provides the perfect foil. So instead of France just going a bit one-dimensional and punting it long towards Giroud, they've got Giroud and Griezmann running off him. And I'd kind of like to see him do that in a 2 for Arsenal in maybe the games that we're expected to win alongside Alexandre Lacazette, because I think that they could be a devastating partnership.
Lacazette and Koscielny, of course, playing in that French game as well. Now, let's go on to age group level. And every time we talk about Arsenal age group level, it seems to be Eddie Nketiah, doesn't it? Whether it's the under-18s recently, the under-23s now, whether it's the Arsenal teams in the Carabao Cup, the Europa League, and now England under-19s as well. Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, every time we seem to catch up, Russ, it's Eddie Nketiah who spills all the headlines. And I know it's only November, but he's having a great season so far. you know, we both know that he's been scoring for fun in our academy, but two goals on his home debut against Norwich, like you said there, followed by four goals against Faroe Islands for England under-19s. Now, I'll just reel off some stats for you here. So he got four goals in two games for England under-18s, and he's now got eight goals in five games for England under-19s, which includes five goals in just two games during this qualifying campaign. But what's impressed me most about him, actually, is that while he used to pick up quite a few goals in under-18s games for us, so where we'd win 4-0, he'd usually score two or three, maybe even four. Now he's scoring the crucial winners. He's timing his goals perfectly. And that winner against Iceland on Saturday, means that England under-19s have already qualified for the elite stage of European under-19 championship qualification after just two games. So he's a player I can't wait to see more of in the Carabao Cup and the Europa League this season. I'm just hoping that he can continue his scoring form because he is untouchable at the moment.
Brilliant, brilliant. OK, let's move on to Arsenal's women then. There are two major stories here. The first is the departure of Pedro Losa as manager and a new man, Joseph Montemurro, due pretty soon at the helm.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real shame about Pedro Martinez Losa because for us, working within Arsenal Media, he was great to deal with. He was always very honest and very transparent with us. And he also gave us that unforgettable day at Wembley, of course, when we beat Chelsea in the FA Cup final as the underdogs, which was a moment which I'm sure he'll savour as much as we will. But unfortunately, sometimes you do need a bit of a shake-up. And although we have had that cup success, we've slipped behind Manchester City and Chelsea in the Women's Super League over the last few seasons. It's Joe Montemurro who comes in. He's got a really good record, actually, with Melbourne City. He did lots of youth coaching in Australia, but he also seized his opportunity when he made the step up to senior football. And in his first season with Melbourne City Women, he actually led them to an unbeaten championship winning campaign. And then the following season, when you thought he couldn't top it, he went and did it again. So, I mean, he's a really talented manager by the looks of things, a really promising coach to bring in. And the other important thing from those two championship winning campaigns is that Kim Little was part of one of them. And obviously with her being such a senior figure in the Arsenal women's squad, we're hoping that we can see the very best of her and the very best of him coming together and working well for Arsenal.
And as we continue to have kind of a bit of a changing of the guard, the brilliant Alex Scott's announced her retirement at the end of this season, hasn't she, after what would be 20 years at the club?
Yes, yeah, it's an incredible achievement for her. I mean, she's won 9 league trophies and 7 women's FA Cups in her 3 spells with us. And after she did retire from international football last month, I kind of expected her to maybe play here for another year. You know, she's only 33, so I thought maybe she'd have a year or two maybe left in her in domestic football. But she knows that she's got great options in the broadcasting world. And, you know, if you turn on the TV and there's sport on, the chances are that Alex Scott will be there in some capacity covering it. So she's done really well with that. And I'm sure if she applies herself in the same way that she did with her football career, she's going to be fine. But yeah, from my point of view, she's grown up here. She was one of the players that Vic Akers brought through when he was manager all those years ago. I mean, she really gets the values of the club, and I hope that we can keep her here in some capacity beyond those playing days, because I'm sure she'll be a great role model, not only for the young girls coming through, but also for the young boys. They can look at her and think that's how a professional footballer needs to behave, and they can learn something from that.
Let's finish, if we can, then, Max, with a word on Josh De Silva, who's received a nomination for the Premier League 2 Player of the Month for October. Good work from the young lad.
Yeah, and he's another one who's looked really promising in this next batch of youngsters coming through. And on them as well, it's certainly the most talented and hardworking group that I've seen in some time. But Josh has been here since he was 8, and although he has featured at left wing back and centre back when he's been called up to play for the first team in the Carabao Cup and the Europa League as well this season, what people may not know is that he's actually a really tricky midfielder who's used to being on the ball a lot in the middle of the park and creating things. But yeah, on the award in general, he was beaten to it by West Ham's Declan Rice, who's been playing in the Premier League. quite consistently for West Ham. I believe he was a big part of their squad that beat Tottenham Hotspur in the League Cup as well. So, you know, it shouldn't say too much about Josh that he didn't win, because he's up against some good opposition. But it is nice to see him recognised and awarded for his consistent performances. And it's also worth mentioning that he's a bit of a dead ball specialist. So look out for that.
Max, thank you very much indeed for letting us go around the club with you. Great stuff as ever.
Cheers, Ross. Pleasure.
Alex Iwobi scored Nigeria's winning goal against Zambia last month that took the Super Eagles to next summer's World Cup finals in Russia. Here's Alex talking to Arsenal Media's Nick Brumsack about that game and the prospect of going to the World Cup.
So, Alex, let's go back to Nigeria's World Cup qualifier against Zambia in Oyo. Talk us through it. How did it feel to score the goal that sent your country to the World Cup?
It's so hard to describe it now. I mean, when I actually scored, the moment was crazy. I remember running off, celebrating. I almost cried. I actually almost cried because to see how like the fans were reacting, see my mum and dad in the stand, like, it was just an amazing feeling.
What was the atmosphere like in the stadium when you scored the goal and also at full time?
When I scored the goal, like, because the security are very strict, fans were trying to come on the pitch as I scored while the security was stopping them. And then after, like, the fans, that like, they like played trumpets and banged drums, so the players were just dancing. It was just crazy.
I mean, how did you celebrate after the game? You mentioned the atmosphere there in the stands. What was it like in the dressing room?
In the dressing room, we're just throwing ice everywhere, throwing water, everyone's just excited. Just all these, like, what is it, Lucozade bottles. Instead of just throwing water, throwing Lucozade bottles, everyone's smelling of Lucozade. Just an amazing feeling.
How proud does it make you to represent your country? Because you've always been very loud, I guess you could say, about representing Nigeria and your love for the country.
It's my basically my family's where they're from, where I'm from, my homeland. So it's always an honour to wear the green, white, green. I mean, I've seen so many kids on the street when we're like in the bus, they're just screaming, "Oh, go to Nigeria, go to Nigeria." So to represent them, I'm just proud.
What does it feel like when you get the chance to go back to the land of your birth?
It makes me feel grateful for what I have, because I've always grown up in England, so I didn't really know what it was like back then. But when I go back, I see how people struggle in life. It's not as easy as it is over here. So it gives me that reality check, but I also try to help other people out there as well.
It must give you a great sense of comfort then to be able to bring such happiness with a goal like the one you scored against Zambia.
It was just the way they were, like, it's almost like everyone won the lottery. They were just all jumping. And to go to the World Cup, you can see it's not just the players' dream, it's the fans' dream as well. And for me to get the goal for us to go through, I'm just proud to do that.
We've seen on your Instagram story, on your Snapchat as well, that there seems to be a really close bond in the squad when you're together. What can you tell us about that?
We're like family. Everyone there's like family. We treat everyone as family. If a new player comes in, straight away we're welcoming them. And yeah, that's the best way to play. We're basically one big family. We'll fight for each other and do everything with each other. Have bands, but also very serious. So it's just one big family. That's the way to describe it.
What's the best way to welcome them? How will you go about doing that?
Like, for new players, if we have dinner, they'll have to sing, dance, they have to introduce themselves. But it's just not, it's weird. I don't know how to describe it. They have to, like, you have to be enthusiastic. And if you're not, everyone will make sure you are. It's just so funny. I wish I could record all of them, but I wasn't able to.
It's still a while away, but have you let yourself think ahead to next summer at all yet?
Nah, not yet. I take it game by game, day by day. I mean, obviously, right now I'm back at Arsenal, so I'm thinking about the next game of Arsenal, really.
Mm. Nigeria World Cup 2014. I'm sure you watched the games there. How do you and your family watch them?
Back then? How did we watch it back then? I think we had family round and we were just screaming out of my family. They were singing songs while we were playing. Everyone just eating and, like, traditional Nigerian food. And just like, we expected them to do better than we thought, but at the end of the day, we're proud of our country for actually doing their best and qualifying. So, yeah, that's how we watched it.
Looking at the stats now, I think Nigeria have only lost two of their last 13 games. Why are things going so well at the moment?
We all fight for each other. I mean, the coaches now, like, they treat us well. Everything's much better now. And I wouldn't be able to put my finger on it, but I'd say we all fight for each other. We're all consistently doing well in our clubs as well. And everyone's fit, strong, and yeah, the chemistry's better as well, so that's probably why.
The A.
Shabby!
To Z.
Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a
three goal! Arsenal.
Burkamp has found Pires. Pires towards Henry. And Arsenal found a goal!
N is for Nicholas, Champagne Charlie, who joined us from Celtic in 1983. And after a rather difficult start to his Arsenal career, he became a cult hero by scoring the winner in the 1987 League Cup final.
Sanson. Anderson. Adams. Nicholas. Off the post. Anderson. Yes, it's got him. It's Charlie. Charlie Nicholas has done it.
The first goal, I actually missed a peach of a chance just before it, and I hit the post. And it came back out, and Viv put it back in to the area again and tapping, and I just remember Tony Adams just about half strangling me in the celebration. Like I didn't even get a chance to celebrate. I was on the run, and of course I wasn't the quickest, so Tony Adams had kind of wrapped his arms round my throat, and I just remember thinking, we're back in the game.
Sanson.
Groves. He's away from Gillespie. Nicholas and Rocastle in the area. Nicholas!
Sometimes it's just fate. I'm a realist, and it's fate, and I didn't stab the second goal at all well. I tried to play it near post, and it hit Ronnie Whelan's heel and deflected by Grobler right into the far post. But the Little Woods Cup was a fantastic success for me.
And it's also for Nketiah. Eddie has made it to the first team squad this season and announced himself to the Emirates faithful in the last round of the Carabao Cup in some considerable style.
Corner, left-hand side. Walcott will take it, right-footed to the near post. Clancy header goes in! Who got the touch on that? And it could be Eddie Nketiah. He's only been on the field of play for a matter of seconds. What an introduction for the 18-year-old. He will remember this for the rest of his life. It is Arsenal 1, Norwich 1. Sensational start to your Emirates career. He's only played away from home in an Arsenal first-team shirt. Johnny on the spot, that's what he's done.
Finally, N is for the team that Eddie bagged that brace against, Norwich City. We faced the Canaries some 58 times through the years, winning 28 of those encounters. And in recent times, we've scored some rather memorable goals against the Carrow Road side.
Gibbs. Wilshere is so tight in that penalty area. Space maybe for Ramsey. He's in here. Aaron Ramsey all the way. Oh! Oh, my word. That's a lovely finish by Aaron Ramsey. There is no keeping this man down. A ninth goal of the season for the Welshman and victory for Arsene Wenger's Arsenal. Cazorla, chance to run at Russell Martin. Wilshere, Cazorla, Giroud gets it back through. Wilshere onside and scores. Norwich completely static and caught out by the through ball from Giroud and the eventual finish from Wilshere.
Wow, what football this is from Arsenal. Absolutely unstoppable one-touch football. It's just beautiful to watch.
Here's Rosicky onto Giroud. Thought about the shot. Now plays one in. It's a good ball. There's Ramsey. What a goal from Aaron Ramsey. An absolute rocket.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
So Adrian Clark joins me at the Chalkboard. Clarky, how's it going?
Hey, Russ. Yeah, all good, thank you. Nice and refreshed. Weekend off. But yeah, plenty to look forward to in the coming weeks.
We'll exhaust you again in no time, don't you worry. And it all starts with quite a tricky question on the Chalkboard, I'd say. Your best and worst North London derby memories.
Yeah, well, there were a lot of good ones. Let's face it. I mean, Arsenal have generally had the upper hand in recent years. The one that stands out got to be the 2012 5-2, because we did do it twice, of course. But that one stands out because it was all going so horribly wrong. 2-0 down early on. And then I think I'm right in saying that five goals in 27 minutes just blew Tottenham away, and the atmosphere inside Emirates that day was unbelievable. Has to go down as one of the best ever. At worst, I genuinely can't think of too many at first team level, but I did lose to Spurs in the Arsenal youth team a few times. Ooh. They had a terrific youth team at the time. They had Sol Campbell with one of the players that Stuart Nevercott, Darren Caskey, Andy Turner, quite a lot of players that went on to play in the first team, Jeff Minton. And I remember playing at White Hart Lane in a Southern Junior Floodlit Cup semi-final, and I think we were leading from the first leg and they overturned it. They beat us at White Hart Lane. I remember sitting in that dressing room afterwards and it was just horrendous. At the time, you just think it's the end of the world. You've lost to Tottenham in such a big game. So, yeah, losing to Spurs any time was not good.
So, the 12:30 kickoff on Saturday, Arsenal-Spurs in the Premier League. Let's go from a must-not-lose angle for almost both teams for slightly different reasons, but to some degree the same point applies, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would say from Arsenal's perspective, it's a must-win, really. I mean... You don't want to be going into a game like this thinking a draw's okay. Based on current form, Spurs probably are the better side. I think we have to face up to that. But that's not to say that Arsenal can't win this game if they're on it and if they play to their potential. So no, I think it's a must-win game for Arsenal to reignite their season after that disappointment against Manchester City. For Spurs, yeah, I guess if they've got title aspirations themselves, and they were looking to win it as well. But look, it's going to be an absolute cracker. But look, Spurs need to win it. I'll tell you why they need to win this. Pochettino needs to win it. It's their away record against the Big Six is average. As brilliant as they've been, under Pochettino, they've won once away from home to the top six, drawn six, lost nine. I'm telling you, even though Spurs are in good form, they have an issue here that they have to overcome at Emirates Stadium.
How do we see Arsenal approaching this then, with available personnel on the back of the internationals, obviously, and just competition for certain places within their starting 11 as well, as we've seen in recent weeks?
Yeah, it's a big selection, isn't it, for Arsene Wenger? I'll tell you who I would be going for. I'd be going for the golden triangle up top. I would be picking Alexander Lacazette. I'd be picking Mesut Ozil. I'd be picking Alexis Sanchez. Didn't do it at Manchester City, and I wonder if the manager will look back at that and think, oh, maybe I should have trusted them to do that, to do the job that day. But I would certainly go with those three, because that immediately gives the Tottenham back three plenty to think about. You know, in terms of who else is available, let's see. Central midfield is interesting. Maybe Jack Wilshere. I don't think Jack Wilshere will get a start, but personally, I wouldn't be averse to seeing him start this game. Look, Arsenal have got to play superbly to win this game, but they're capable.
Same question, I guess, regarding Spurs. We've seen one or two injury niggles and the controversy of players that have been withdrawn from international duty, but let's not even go there. We expect, though, Harry Kane to be absolutely fine, as Maurizio Pochettino said.
They'll all be fine, won't they? Winks will play, Ali will play, Kane will play. Maybe Hugo Lloris won't. And that could be an issue. I mean, Gazzaniga did brilliantly in the match against Crystal Palace. Kept Spurs in it, really.
But can he keep that up, though?
Well, exactly. You would say he might be third goalkeeper for a reason. And it is hard to put back-to-back performances together when you're rusty. So if he does play, pepper that box, sling balls into the area at every single opportunity. Look, I think Spurs are get-attable, for sure. I'm really impressed with them. But Yang Vertonghen, I don't think he's the quickest. I think, you know, if there's issues over Alderweireld's fitness, maybe Eric Dier will be in that back three. I think he's a little bit slow on the turn. We can get at Spurs, but it's going to be a difficult game.
So just in terms of the atmosphere at Emirates Stadium and how critical it is to get a win in such a big fixture, given the backdrop, I'm just really, really looking forward to that little build-up where the kind of the hairs on the back of your neck are starting to stand up.
Oh, the crowd get into it. Look, I think there will be a lot of nerves. I think a lot of Arsenal fans will go into this game feeling, you know, a slight bit of trepidation, to be perfectly honest. But they have a responsibility, those that go to Emirates Stadium for the derby, to really create a rousing and atmosphere. I think that will feed into the players, and I hope the noise levels will inspire the team to find that extra yard. I want to see Arsenal press, get in the faces of Tottenham in this game, really get after them and go for the jugular right from minute one. And I think that will get the crowd up behind them. That's the best. Rather than feeling their way into this game, we need to start fast.
You've got a pinstripe shirt on today, which is semi-managerial. So, Clarkie, what would you say if you were Arsene Wenger as you addressed the players in your five-second pre-North London derby team talk?
Think, fight.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Believe. This is a win at all costs game. Go out
nice.
And do it.
Yeah. I like it. And so says Adrian Clarke. Time now for another win at all costs game. It's Brain of Arsenal.
Brain of Arsenal.
Well, the Arsenal Weekly podcast editor, Liam Roberts, joins us on the line. Liam, how's it going?
Morning, Paddis. Yeah, all good, thanks. How are we all?
Yeah, morning. Yeah, very well, thank you.
Clarkie's got his North London derby face on already. You can tell. I like it. And of course, I've got to have my game face on because I've got a week three challenge with my topic, haven't I, which on the whole never goes well.
Yeah, this could be a bit of history happening today if you can get to week four.
he's shaking his head, Liam. He's not hugely confident, but look, he has duped us before by pretending that he hasn't revised. So let's not fall for it.
Oh, he's definitely revised. I can guarantee that.
Right,
am I first?
I think yes. Your decision, mate. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Yeah, let's do this.
Okay, so Adrian, just remind us, what is your...
Well, I always, whenever I'm working at Emirates Stadium, I love bumping into the legend that is Charlie George. He's such a character. He's a tour guide most days at the stadium. Great, great fella. And I've learned a bit more about him.
Okay, then. So, four questions on Charlie George starting now. How old is Charlie?
Oh, how old is Charlie? Oh, I do know his date of birth. He was born in 1950, so that was October 1950, which I believe will make him 67.
Correct. I was going to try and fool you with give me the age instead of the date of birth.
But, yeah, he almost did the trick, yeah.
Question two, who did he make his Arsenal debut against?
He made his debut against Everton.
Correct. How many English clubs did Charlie play for?
Oh, no, that's quite hard. How many English clubs? So he played for Arsenal, he played for Derby, he played for Southampton, he played for Nottingham Forest, he played for Bournemouth. Did he then play for a load of foreign teams? I'm going to go with five.
And it was actually seven. He went on loan a couple of times as well.
Oh. Who to?
I've got it written down in front of me.
Wow, Stuart's inquiry then. Yeah.
Maybe on Wikipedia.
Okay.
I'll confirm next week.
Okay, fine.
And question four, who did Charlie win his only England cap
against? He won his only England cap against the Republic of Ireland, and he played for 60 minutes as a left winger, had the raving hump, came off, and I think he swore at the then England manager, and that was it. He never played again. Don Revie, I think it was.
Correct. 3 out of 4. Good effort.
Well, yeah,
you accused me of putting there, gloss on the situation with irrelevant facts in your answer. So that's exactly what you've just done.
Yeah, I'm spewing about this seven clubs, but I'm going to check it while you do your answers.
Okay, go on Wikipedia, mate. Go on Wikipedia. Okay, so Russ, you're on to week 3. Arsene Wenger before Arsenal.
Okay.
Questions start now. Question 1: how many languages does the boss speak?
Ooh. So French, English, German, Japanese. Probably. Oh, I mean, I know he speaks at least 4. Probably speaks some other. I'll go with 4, but I have a feeling it's probably more.
It's actually 6.
Oh,
what a clever
clue. Same as Jose Mourinho.
Can I ask you the other 2, or do we have to refer to our good friends at Wikipedia?
I think you should go back to Wikipedia, yeah. Mate, I'm not gonna lie to you. I got back off holiday last night. This was a lot of research done this morning in the early hours.
Fair enough. I trust you.
Question 2. Oh, you do. Adrian doesn't, though. Okay. Question 2. What was the name of the book that he wrote about his footballing philosophy, which was released during his time at Grand Pursuit?
Oh my goodness. Week 3 questions. I'm going to say Le Professeur, but I don't know.
With the spirit of conquest.
Mm. I could have guessed for weeks and not got that.
Sounds deep.
Yeah, deeper than my knowledge.
Question 3. The boss first visited Highbury to watch the Gunners play which team in 1989?
Oh my goodness. Liverpool.
It was Tottenham. There's a little clue there. It's North London Derby week. I thought I'd throw that in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's in folklore, you see. He was the guest, wasn't he, of Mr. Dean? I think he was, yeah.
Didn't know for what game, though. Mm.
Oh. Question 4, and the final one. Who did the boss succeed as Monaco manager?
Ooh. Oh.
You're right over there, Russ.
Is it Jean Tigana?
No, I think Tigana actually succeeded him. It was Stefan Kovacs, the famous Ajax manager.
I hate week 3. It's the worst punishment in the world to win week 2. Darkie, well done, mate. I'm sure that puts you back on top in the overall standings. We'll work them out one day.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Sure. So, Russ, you'll be going on to a new subject next week, which will be...
I will go with the first season that Arsenal were at Emirates Stadium. I know it's quite a broad one, but I'm going to go that season because I've got a lovely media clock that I was given because by chance it was the game I was assigned that season first day, and it's in a little pride of place thing I've got in my office. So I always look at that and think, 1 week I'll bring that in as my topic, and it's needed now after that catastrophe. So Arsenal's first season at Emirates Stadium.
3-0. Sorry.
Such a good winner, Adrian Clark. I look forward to the tables being turned as he gets into weeks 2 and 3 with Charlie George. Gentlemen, I would say a pleasure, but that's a little bit of a lie. Liam, great to speak to you. Clarky, when do I have to speak to you again?
I'm actually not on duty at the North London Derby, so I'll be back doing a breakdown of that this time next week, next Monday.
The final word.
Well, as it's the North London Derby on Sunday, we thought the final word this week should belong to some of the Gunners' greatest goals in this fixture.
Oh, Brady won it beautifully. Look at that! Oh, look at that! What a goal by Brady!
Deep one. Quinn hoping to get on the end of it. It comes to Allinson. Driven first time. It might go anywhere. Rocastle!
Keep it in the corner. No. Here's Bergkamp. Oh, that brilliant work. And that well and truly wraps it up for Arsenal. Playing such adventurous football under Arsene Wenger. from Tottenham famously at Highbury to score from a starting position similar to that one. But on this occasion, he's looked for Bergkamp, who looks for Vieira! Well, we felt they wouldn't settle for the draw. Yet again, Arsenal, in a matter of seconds, have turned defending into classic counter-attack.
Looking for the best option here. Walcott's made a run in the penalty area. Suakoto, not very convincing clearance. Van Persie. Great strike. What a goal! That is a brilliant goal from Robin Van Persie. His 29th goal of the season, and none better. Walcott trying to go around Norton. He's done well, Walcott. Plays across in. Mertesacker with a header. What a time to get your first goal for Arsenal. Per Mertesacker, it's 1-1. On to Thomas Rosicki. Walcott, chance for the Gunners. And Giroud's in there, and Arsenal have the lead. It's Olivier Giroud who puts Arsenal one goal to the good against Tottenham.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Alex Iwobi, to Max Jones and Adrian Clark for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing in the podcast, so please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can subscribe as well and find us on Acast. Remembering as well to get your questions in for Clarkey at the chalkboard on Twitter using the hashtag ArsenalWeekly. We're back on Monday the 20th of November. Until then, it's bye for now. And don't forget, the latest Arsenal Weekly podcast stories is currently available, where we hear about the life and times of the invincible Gilberto.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.